countrywide on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Caller Gas, celebrating 80 years, bringing energy to Ireland's homes and businesses.
Now, tomorrow, thousands of Cavan football fans will be streaming to Clonus to see their team in the Ulster final for the first time in 18 years and in search of their first title since 1997 when they beat Derry. Here's a little reprise of that dramatic closing few minutes in the game. Cavan desperately trying to hold on to a precious 1-point lead, scarcely believing they could, as Derry threatened to snatch a draw and deny Cavan their first title back then in 28 years.
Will it ever end? This side of the pitch, people of Cavan are now gone inside the wire. As Derry need possession. Dermot Heaney, Anthony Toole. There's Gary Coleman at the far side, totally unmarked. Anthony Toole trying to make an angle. Looking, twisting, turning, it's blocked. It comes back to Seamus Downey, who is fouled. And that is not a free. It looked like a free. Derry still have it, and it's cleared as Pat Shields has it. They have to hold possession now, Cavan. The final whistle blows. You can look at your television sets again, because the people of Cavan can rejoice. The long wait is over.
And there's been another long wait since then. Of course, the unmistakable voice of Marty Morrissey, who will be in Clonus again tomorrow. So we might bring a little bit of luck. Cavan, a football mad county. And the fans don't come much madder, if I can describe you as that, than the man sitting across from me, Shane Connaughton. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning, Damien.
What are your memories of 97 when you listen back to that?
Well, it was a beautiful day, and there was an elderly man sitting beside me with his wife. At half time, he took out the sandwiches, the hang sandwiches, and when the full time whistle blew, he didn't believe Cavan had won. He didn't believe the game
was frozen,
over.
Right. Frozen on the spot.
Because we'd been so used to getting beaten. And not when I was a kid, of course, but then, and I had to tell him, no, we've won. And then another friend who was with my brother, old Shamie Connolly from Gannon's Cross, and when the final whistle went, he thought the referee had blown a foul against Cavan, and he was effed and blinded like mad. But the excitement was intense. It was brilliant.
Yeah, 22 years ago. You seldom miss a match.
Well, if I can help it, I just love it.
Because you're commute. Do you commute from London over for league matches?
Sometimes.
Wow.
I've commuted from Los Angeles sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're a lifelong fan, which goes way back.
Yeah, it goes back to Kings Court, where I was born.
Yeah.
Because
despite the accent, of course, you're a strong Cavan man.
Yeah, well, you see, in Kings Court, we had Victor Sherlock, the great Cavan player. And when we were kids, we used to go up, if Cavan were playing or Kings Court were playing, we'd go up and knock on his door at the top of the town and ask him, could we carry his boots down to the field? And so
That's where it all began.
Yeah, that's where
it
all began.
But then you grew up, you left there at the age of 10. Your dad was a guard, isn't that right?
He was a sergeant. When he was promoted, he was moved to Red Hills in County Cavan, right on the border. And, of course, it carried on there, the love of the football.
Did you play yourself?
I did, yeah. I played minor football, first of all. But then we moved to Duleek in the end, and I played a lot for Duleek. Yeah, and with really good players in both places.
Right, yeah.
But anyway, I was no great player.
Well, you talked there about Duleek, which is me, isn't that right? And the 1952 All-Ireland, the last time Cavan won an All-Ireland, my God, they talk about Mayo, but it's the same with Cavan. Yeah. 52, they beat Meath, their old nemesis, and you were at one of those two games.
Well, the first game was a draw. And it was the first time I was allowed to go to Dublin and go to Croke Park. And
What age were you then?
I was 10.
Right.
And it was non-stop rain all night long, all day long. It was so wet the minor match was cancelled. But we journeyed with my father, Jimmy Brady, a well-known importer and exporter along the border. He had a V8 car, which is faster than the customs cars. And Dinny O'Brien, who owned a kind of a shop along there at Legacelly, Guard Burns, and myself. And my mother said, don't talk, because I had a cold. He won't let you go if you talk. But anyway, I did manage to get a few words out. But we got there, and the minor match was cancelled. So we had to wait in the rain for 2 extra hours.
And you had a cold.
Yeah, but anyway, at half time, when the players were coming off, right in front of us, a man up in the stand from me threw a Guinness bottle down to hit the Gunner Brady, who was an absolutely infamous Cavan footballer. And it missed the Gunner, of course, and it hit his next door neighbour from Kilmainham Wood in County Meath and split his head open.
God.
And that
so there was hooliganism back then?
There was, yeah, of a peculiar kind. You did it with Guinness bottle.
You know. And you there, so that was 52, and as you said, you grew up in Red Hills, yeah. And then Ju League. But when did you go to England?
I went in 1960, the last day of February 1960 was a leap year. Everybody told me a girl would ask me to marry them, but it never happened for a time.
What took you to England?
Well, peculiarly enough, I had a fantasy of being a pilot, and I went to join the RAF. They said they'd train me as a navigator, but I was going round the barracks one night with a fella from Yorkshire, and I said, "What's that big glow in the sky there?" And he said, "That's London. We were in Hornchurch." And I said to myself, "Tomorrow I'm going to be in London," a bit like Dick Whittington. And so I went to London, to Leytonstone.
And what did you then...
I got a job in a furniture factory. It was fantastic. It was the first place bombed by Hitler during the war.
So you gave up any desire to be a pilot for lights of London?
They sent me a letter saying we could train you as a navigator and then you can become a pilot. And I remember in Leytonstone in this room with my friend from Red Hills, I tore it up and put it in the bin. I never looked back again.
Were you always destined to be an actor growing up as
I was
son
always
of a
destined,
guard, a sergeant?
Well, I always had a thought that one day there'd be something there in the sky for me kind of thing. Maybe win the All-Ireland with Cavan or something. And then once I discovered acting, I was aware. I never let it go. And I studied it hard and I got to drama school and everything.
Right. And would have probably, I'm sure, over the years and in London as well, acted with some well-known people?
Oh, yeah, I did. The drama school had loads of people. And one of the companies I was in, I shared a room with Bob Hoskins.
Really?
Yeah. And there was another guy there in the room with us. He was a printer from Croydon. He came up to work on the Stoke-on-Trent Evening Sentinel. And he had a terrible problem with all the pimples on his body. And we used to have to squeeze his spots at nighttime. And he said, "Oh, it's great when the lights are dark in the dance hall, the girls will dance with me. But then when the lights go up, they can see the spots in my face." He was a very sad character. I've never forgotten him. But Bob and I used to take care of him. But Ben Kingsley was there, who became Robert Powell. It was an amazing company.
God, it was great. And in the 60s in London, I mean, you were living the life, but you never forgot your roots. And then, you know...
No, I remember in 1969, when Cavan won the Ulster final and they were playing Offaly, I had an old transistor radio.
In the semi-final then, playing Offaly, yeah.
Yeah, I went up to Highgate to try and get better reception. Those were the days when there were no laptops or anything. You couldn't get RTE in London, and so Radio Éireann in London. So I lay down in Highgate by that big aerial, that big radio aerial, listening to it. And I had a friend playing I went to school with, Hughie McInerney. But again, Offaly won,
yeah. And that was the last year Cavan won at Ulster until 97. I was actually in Cavan last night. There was an up for the match for my father's club, Castlerahan, and of course the great Martin McHugh was on the panel.
Yeah,
he was the manager in 97.
Yeah, of course.
He played the last time Cavan played Donegal in 83 in an Ulster final, and tomorrow his son Ryan is playing with Donegal, so it was a nice thread through there.
Yeah.
And we talked about 97 earlier on and what it actually meant. For you, Shane, over the years, I was thinking of obviously the Playboys and Run of the Country, both filmed in Red Hills, both beautiful films, wonderful successes. And I was thinking of Albert Finney, who acted in both of them, who died, sadly, the last year, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I thought of you when I heard about it. He had no Irish connections, but you regaled him about Cavan football, did you?
Yeah, I did, and I brought him to the Ulster final. Yeah, and he never saw anything like that colour on the hill. You know, when the teams came out and all those flags were waved, I think it was Donegal and it was Tyrone and Armagh playing. He never saw anything like it. It was incredible.
Yeah.
And then I think later that day, that was the day that President Robinson came to Red Hills.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, so
it was fantastic. But he loved it, and he loved the people, Albert.
Yeah.
He loved old John James North, the blacksmith, because of the connection with the horses.
Yeah.
He had a wonderful common touch. He was a very intelligent man. I remember him sitting, waiting to do shots, and he'd be doing the Times crossword.
Yeah. And what is your routine now for tomorrow, Shane?
Well, that's very interesting. My wife is coming to try and keep manners on me. And my son, Tom, who's coming from London. He was invited by Arsenal to go to Baku to see that final a few weeks ago, but he didn't go, but he's not turning down Clonus tomorrow. He's coming. And then Eddie McElhenney, an old friend who I lived with in Leytonstone the very first time I went to school, went to England. And so we are going. Our first big thing is, where are we going to Blinken Park?
And then it's a long walk up that hill.
That's a stress test. It's for anybody. If you can get up that hill with a...
Are you a good man, though, for going early to soak up the atmosphere
yes,
tomorrow?
Yes, I am, very much so. Yeah. Why rush at the end? Absolutely. You know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime, maybe.
Yeah.
So it's going to be wonderful. And I went to school in Clonus.
I see.
And Clonus, when we were kids, was the town along the border. But then the railway station closed, and later on the Troubles, and it killed that town stone dead. And all they've got left now is the Ulster Final.
Yeah.
Well, if they build Casement Park, I doubt if Clonus will ever get it again, which would be a terrible shame because it's a lovely place.
You'll be one of 29,000 and I'll be another one there tomorrow. Both were meant to be neutral on this station, but we're both obviously cheering on the Breffni Blues tomorrow. And it's like the day before Christmas, really, for a team, following a team like Cavan who don't get there too often. Are you optimistic?
Yes, I am, because I spoke to Frankie Kennedy, a great player, and he said that he thought that Cavan was going to win as a result of that last match. I wasn't at the last match.
Against Armagh.
Against Armagh, because my nephew was getting married in Münster in Germany. So we listened to it on the laptop in a hotel room, and then we went mad in Münster.
Will you be going mad tomorrow evening?
Completely. Insanely mad, but Anne, my wife, being there, I'll keep calm.
Right, okay, no shouting at the referees now, okay? Shane, we're going to leave it there. We've run a little bit over time, but I don't care because we're both here talking about the great passion of which we share, which is Cavan football, and the best of luck to them tomorrow. And I look forward to seeing you walking up the hill in Clonus tomorrow. Shane Connaughton, thank you so much.